You are listening to the Happiest Lives podcast with Jill Lillard, episode number 53.
Welcome to the Happiest Lives podcast, where you'll learn to think better, feel better, and become the woman God says you already are. Here's your host, Jill Lillard.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we start a brand new series, The Path to Aliveness. Now, I've been very excited about this new topic. I feel like the Lord just leads and directs me and gives me different things that He wants me to talk about. And so this has been a works in the making. And a lot of times the work that happens that gives me the idea and the topic develops is the work that I'm doing inside my coaching groups. And so I have a couple of coaching groups. One of them is VIP, which is anyone who has graduated from the Happiest Lives Academy. They can continue on in VIP, and we have a Slack group. And so it's just a private messaging app. And there's a channel in there, the Heart Scans channel. And so people can post things that they're struggling with, and they use the process that I teach you guys of doing a heart scan, and they plug in their thoughts, feelings, actions, results that they're getting into the model. And I will coach them and give them feedback on all parts of the heart scan. And we also have live coaching calls, and I can give them feedback in there too. So there's women who I've worked with for a long time. And so I've watched their journeys unfold. I've seen ways that they have been transformed, ways that they continue to grow. And so in the life of a Christian, it is not a one and done thing. Just like when you get married and you say, I do, when you say, I love you, it's not all over from there. You continue to say, I love you. You continue to say, I do with your actions and the way you turn toward one another. We have to continue to invest and mature and grow in our relationships. And that's what it looks like in our relationship with the Lord. And if you want to live a life that is full of aliveness, then you want to be engaged with your life. Now, in this world, we have troubles. There are weeds and there are thorns, which are symbolic of all the pains and problems we have. Problems in our relationships. We have difficulties with our physical health. We experience different emotions that are painful. Wrongs that others have done towards us. There are sins that impact us. And then we sin against others. And so all of these things are part of living in this fallen world. We have not yet arrived at our destination, and we have not yet experienced the fullness of our redemption. And so we are given a choice of paths that we can take each day. There are choices that we get to make that set us on a path toward a destination. And I believe you are either growing, you are moving toward more aliveness, or you are dying. You are moving closer to death and decay. Now, all of us in our physical bodies, we're moving toward death. You know, as soon as a baby's born, it's growing and maturing. But at some point, it's moving more toward death, toward dying. I mean, that's the reality of this world that we live in, the passing vapor, the falling leaf. And so that is part of our reality. But in our spirit, in our soul, we are being renewed day by day. And the Lord wants to renew our minds, and He wants to quicken the spirit living inside of us. And He places His spirit inside of us that can totally change and transform us. It can alter the way we're thinking, the way we're feeling, and it can put us in a new direction. So aliveness is the state or fact of existing. So if you look that up, I always love the word hippo. If you look that up, aliveness, it's the state or fact of existing. Now, I think I'm talking more than about just simply existing, simply being. I'm probably talking more about liveliness. And liveliness is to be full of life, spirit, energy, or movement. And so when you are existing in a way that's lively, when you are in your full aliveness, you are full of life, spirit, energy, and movement. And the alternative to this is moving toward deadness, death. And so deadness is the property of lifelessness. So life is lacking. It's as if you were dead. So an unlively person shows little enthusiasm. So are you on a path that is enthusiastic, that's full of life, passion, spirit, or are you on a path that shows little enthusiasm? Maybe you've grown numb, detached. You have a sense of lifelessness as though you are dead. What direction are you heading? There's no such thing as stagnant. We're going one way or we're going the other. So all of you listening to me are alive. Your heart is beating. And yet you want to ask yourself this question, am I really alive? Am I full of passion? Do I have hope? Am I enthusiastic? Do I feel the joy of the Lord as my strength? Now, there is the reality of depression and anxiety. There can be things that impact our psyche. And for those things, I would refer you to a counselor. I would refer you to a therapist. Focus on the Family has a network of therapists who are Christian, who have registered with their network and have, you know, an agreement with the values of that. And so you could go to the Focus on the Family and you could look for a therapist in your area. If you're struggling with things like clinical depression, you feel unhappy more than you feel happy. You've lost interest and joy in your life. And so this is a legitimate thing. And we want to be able to treat it and look at it the same way we would look at diabetes or high blood pressure. We want to see what all our options are. But there is an interweaving between our physical body and our spiritual body, our mind, our mental, our emotional health. And so the work that we do inside the Happiest Life Coaching will help you feel better. But sometimes if you are struggling with depression, it doesn't matter how much of this work you do. You don't even maybe have the energy to do that. And in that case, I would definitely look into therapy. But many of us who are functioning well on the outside, we are living our lives, we are doing our things, but we may have just grown a little bit more dead. We are lacking some passion. We aren't living lives that are full of expectancy and hope. We don't have as much enthusiasm or joy. And because of the things going on in your life, in your relationships, or financial struggles, or job, whatever it may be, maybe you become a little hardened. You've detached a little bit. You've numbed yourself out under the weight of life's sorrow, grief, and disappointments. Life does have disappointments. We're going to feel disappointed sometimes. We're going to feel grief and sadness. We're going to feel sorrow. Because this is not our home. We are longing and aching for our eternal home, which is in heaven. And we are longing and aching for the fullness, the blueprint that God has put on our souls of who we are, that fullness. And we don't experience it in its entirety as we live here in a fallen world. And so sometimes we find ourselves playing life safe so that we won't get hurt. We have maybe found ourselves wanting, desiring, longing for something, and that longing is not met. That hope is deferred, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if you've become callous in how you're living your life, maybe in the way that you're loving others, you're not loving others in a bold, courageous way. Maybe you've retreated more to self-protection, and you're just not putting yourself out there as much. Then you may be on that path to deadness. Now, I think all of us, if we consciously were to have both of these outcomes in front of us, one which was this life of passion and energy and movement, and this other one which was kind of like a potato sitting on a couch, we would choose the life. We would choose the adventure. We would choose the joy and the excitement and the energy. We would choose those vibrations over the ones that seemed a little bit darker and heavier. And yet every day we get a choice to choose life or death. And so many of us, because we want to be comfortable, because we want to numb out the immediate pain that we're feeling, we choose the road of deadness. So I know in your life, you want to have more energy. You want to have more joy, more movement in your soul. And if you've become comfortable and have mistaken comfort and safety for life and living, then it's time to reevaluate. It's time to evaluate the direction you're going in and why you're going in that direction. I'm not here to simply recommend changing your actions and behaviors. I want you to go deeper than that. I want you to see where those actions are coming from. What are the things that you've been believing? What are the things that you have been feeling? Maybe you tried to power your way through life by sheer will. Maybe you have a marriage that just feels a little cold and empty and void. There's just not that connection that you desire to be there. And maybe you have fallen into self-sufficiency, just completely relying on yourself. Or maybe there's something else that you're battling with, some dependency on maybe a substance or food or spending too much money. And you may try to rely on works of the flesh to get out of that habit. And maybe you're tired. You know, how many Christians are going to church and they're being dutiful? They're being that faithful person they feel like they should be. They're trying to be the good wife and do the right thing and to be kind and loving and considerate. But maybe they've come to a point, maybe you come to a point where you just feel like you can't sustain that anymore. For some of you, the road's been very hard. The harm and wrongs done to you by other people, maybe you've been in an abusive relationship or you have abuse from your childhood. Maybe there's been situations where you feel like should have been able to trust someone and you haven't been able to. And maybe that has pierced your soul and you have sheltered yourself away so that you won't get hurt again. And yet, God offers us springs of living water. He tells us, Jesus says, "He who believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing from within." And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit flows within us like rivers of living water, washing away the old and bringing in the new life. He offers us abundant life. He offers us joy unspeakable and full of glory, despite the harm that has come against you, despite the heartaches and disappointments of living in this fallen world. Now, that aliveness, that joy may not be what you're thinking it should be. A lot of times we get our mind, our eyes on situations and circumstances. We think to feel joy, to feel aliveness, that our situation needs to look a certain way, that God will intervene in our life in a certain way, that maybe our sickness will be removed or our husband will suddenly start responding to us in a different way or our wayward children would come home to serve the Lord. And yet we don't have control over those things. We can pray. God gives us an avenue to bring our petitions to him and then to move into praise and thanksgiving. So we don't have to always sit in the heaviness of that. But we do have to go through the suffering of life. We do get to feel those aches and longings because they remind us this isn't our home. And they also become the invitation to engage with God. And when we engage with God, we experience his Holy Spirit flowing through us like those rivers of living water. So today, that is the overview of the topic we're talking about all month. And today I want to look at the two paths. There are two paths that you are being offered, which we have already addressed, the aliveness or the deadness. And we know that God is the giver of life. He created all things and he gives life to all things. And he offers us a path of reconciliation with him. So there has been a chasm between mankind and God because of man's disobedience, because of sin in the world, And so that creates a barrier between us and God. And the Bible is the book of history that tells us the entire story of this, about God creating us, the fall of man, and God restoring mankind to himself. And this happens through Jesus. He reconciles our relationship with him, the giver of life, the one who is alive, through Jesus. And so we can take this path of reconciliation, or we can stay on a path of hostility toward God. We get to choose. That's the beauty of free will. And I want to look at what it looks like to engage in your life and to engage in your relationships when you choose the path of aliveness, the path of life. So I wanted to share with you just a little story of someone who is in a graduate of the Happiest Lives Academy. And so when you graduate from the Happiest Lives Academy, I don't promise you bliss, that your life is now perfect, you've arrived, you've had no problems. All I promise you is some tools that are going to give you more confidence to navigate life. Life will continue to be what it is. It'll continue to be what God has allowed it to be. But one of the gals inside VIP, she was sharing on the HeartScan channel. And I think I'm just going to read her words. Now, I will change her name to protect her identity. I don't know that she wants her identity out here, but we will call her Margaret. I just decided on that right now. Okay. And we'll just call her husband, okay, rather than saying his name. But Margaret posted, "Jill, husband and I had a fight on Saturday morning and we're still not back. He says it's all my fault. Told me later he even left for the gym after the fight and was so angry he was thinking about how he was going to endure being married to me for another 14, when my son graduates, let alone 40 years. I didn't know the fight was that bad. He was venting about my parents and he raised his voice and I went into defense mode and I started yelling back. I honestly don't remember what I said, but he kept arguing as he walked out of the room and I kept commenting back as he walked out of the room and that made it much worse, I guess. Now I'm walking on eggshells, not knowing where to go from here. I want to get back, but I also want to keep my distance. He thinks the entire thing was my fault, that I blew it up and didn't let him vent. I guess I misunderstood and thought it was an attack. I'm still in defense mode. I have my guard up and I'm keeping him at arm's length. He leaves for Vegas for a work conference on Sunday until Wednesday. I'm looking forward to some space. He's talking about maybe not going because he's going to miss us so much. I think his anxiety just has him wanting to be home. But once he gets on a trip like this, he rarely calls or checks in. So there's that. Lots of layers here, but I'm feeling like all the things are my fault and I don't want to apologize because his apology was an arms folded. If I raise my voice, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, I guess, but I still want things back." And so Margaret did a model. She plugged in her circumstance. The circumstance was, husband and I had a fight on Saturday, and her thought about it was, maybe it's all my fault. But if it is, I don't care. So I would say her thought is, I don't care. Her feeling was defensive. And when she felt defensive, her actions were to go in defense mode. She would have her guard up. She kept him at arm's length. She didn't make bids to connect. The result of these actions are she doesn't care about the relationship. So I replied to Margaret. I gave her a link to a worksheet, The Aftermath of a Fight, that would help her process through this. I also gave her some ways to process through the emotion that she was feeling so she could just get a little bit more calm and that she could stay connected to herself rather than just trying to run out of the defensiveness that she was feeling. And she responded with this, "Jill, I went through the worksheets from after a fight, and I'll do another heart scan in the morning, but I'm seeing a theme. Usually my thoughts from the questions revolve around needing to be right or to at least prove that I'm less wrong than husband is. And most of my Fs are defensive. I don't listen well. I'm easily threatened, and I take myself and my life way too seriously while taking a very long time to calm down and recover from conflict. My husband says he doesn't know what happened in my childhood that makes me overreact and go into defense mode, but I almost think he's right, like something short circuits because it's so broken, like it was all my fault, or a similar thought is the broken record in my brain that makes me work so hard to defend myself, even if there is a difference of opinion or argument. I'll revisit this heart scan in the morning. So looking at Margaret's feedback, I saw that she was intentionally moving from the road that leads to deadness and fighting to stay alive. I further encouraged her about the progress I had seen in the past several years in the work that she had been doing, that she was having a slow, steady progress because she had an open heart and she was willing to expose, renew, engage, and press on, which these are all parts of being on the road to aliveness. I also pointed out an observation by sharing a new model with her. The circumstance was husband disagrees. The thought is, I'm in danger. The feeling is afraid. Action, don't listen. Try to prove I'm right. Justify, excuse, resist, oppose. Lose my sense of humor and good nature. Can't calm down. Fixate on the situation and can't move forward. Overreact. The result is, I'm defensive. I then asked her the question, is it possible? Is it possible you're not in danger? Is it possible that he's right? Is it possible that you could be wrong? Is it possible you both could be right? Is it possible that this doesn't have to be a fight? Is it possible that nothing is at stake but your pride? I also encouraged her to ask what truth makes her feel safe and secure when they disagree. This is part of helping her find the pathway to aliveness. As she asked herself the question, is it possible? What she discovered was, it's possible he really does love me. She realized maybe she really was afraid that he didn't really love her. And if they have a conflict or difference of opinion, that means he doesn't really love her and that he might leave. And so this was more heart scanning that she wanted to do. So she later messaged that she had a repeat argument, new topic, new day, same result with a husband, and it felt worse than last time because she's been working on this very thing and then she was back at it again, one step forward, two steps back. She said he leaves in the morning and I really don't want things to be like this when he'll be gone for 4 days, but he doesn't want to talk to me. Guess it's harder work than I'd like, but I appreciate the cheering on. Really, I do. She looked at her reoccurring thoughts. I'm in their way. I don't have help. My backstop, my mom, isn't available. I have to take care of everything by myself. I can't ask him for help. I can't bother him. I'm on my own. Later, she posted, husband and I went for a walk. I apologized. He said, quite gently actually, that he thinks fear has a real grip on me. He reminded me that it is not from God. He was talking specifically about my fear of losing my parents, though I find it very interesting that you identified the same feeling in the unintentional model that you did for me. I think I need to look at that reoccurring feeling too. She also shared that her stepdad had went into the hospital and he was admitted and they were expecting him to go home soon. And her mom, who's been struggling with some health issues, she was 3 weeks post-op, has her also wound up pretty tight. This is a mom who has 5 children at home. She's a stay-at-home mom. And her support system, her mom, has been out of commission. And now her stepdad is sick and her husband's leaving town. So a lot of emotion was accumulating for her. A lot of fear and feelings of being alone. Looking at our conversation, I told her I wanted to sum it up for her as this. You have two paths. One of death and one of aliveness. Death, You can numb out feelings with buffering, chocolate chips in the pantry, perhaps, defensiveness, disconnection, white knuckling, trying to be all you need to be with no help and feeling sorry for yourself. Or you can choose life, refusing to be dead and living with aliveness, no matter the plight. What this looks like, allowing your feelings to be there without indulging or resisting. We live in a fallen world. This is not our home. Of course, these things are happening. Letting emotion, disappointment, fear, grief be an invitation to Jesus. Staying tender, open, and engaged. Finding safe places to share your heart. Taking ownership of your behaviors, repentance, and rest. Suffering to surrender. And pressing on despite your unwanted feelings, knowing it does not all depend upon you and that you are not alone. You have all you need. I encouraged her that I saw her choosing aliveness, even as the path of death offered itself. I'm glad she took a walk with her husband. I'm glad she apologized. I'm glad he was gentle with her and she was open to hear his observations. I'm glad she was reaching out and sharing her heart and fears in our group. And I'm glad she was wrestling with the hard stuff. I validated how terrible all of this felt. And I encouraged her to just let it feel bad, to let it be hard, but not to make it harder than it has to be. I encouraged her to pass through and keep her eyes on Jesus the whole time, to let her fears turn into petitions made with praise and thanksgiving, opening her heart to joy in the sorrow. This is what the path of aliveness and death looks like. And in this example I gave you of this client, you can see the choice is always before her throughout the entire day. Will she choose death or will she choose life? Will she take a risk? Will she trust or will she shut down and protect herself and disconnect? We always have a choice to turn toward God or turn away. The alternative is to turn away from the Lord and put our hope in other little GODs, little comforts, things that make us feel better in the moment. It may even be the God of self-sufficiency or works of the flesh. And how this ends is in feeling more alone and isolated. Some people may look to mysticism, legalism, or dulling the pains of life with quick hits of adrenaline found in eating, shopping, mood-altering substances, and even overworking. These buffers take the edge off for the moment, but in the long game, they end up stealing joy, freedom, and life from us when we overdo them. In Deuteronomy, there is a passage that talks about, I have set before you the road of life and the way of death, and you get to choose. Are you going to choose life? Are you going to choose death? And the road of life is one of trust and obedience, but I am not talking about a disconnected sort of obedience. But on the road of life, we're not talking about going through the emotions that you are obeying and disconnecting from your heart. We're talking about engaging with your whole heart, your whole being, your whole soul, which requires acknowledging the emotions that you are actually experiencing. When we turn toward Jesus, he promises us reconciliation with God. And God is the source of life. He is the rivers of living water, and he dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. So in our relationships, we can look at our relationship with ourself, our relationship with God, and our relationship with other people. And I think the pathway is the same, the process of engaging. But one of these relationships, our relationship with the Lord, is the only one that can satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. So you can be in a very loving marriage, even where your husband is attentive, and you can feel disconnected and you can feel all alone as much as you can in a relationship where your husband isn't responding to you in the way that you desire, because only God can satisfy our deepest longing. And so the path that we use, the way that I guess I organize the path that I have observed in scripture, is in the heart scan process. And it's where we expose, renew, engage, and press on. And the alternative to that is to hide, to stay stuck in shame and blame and lies, to disconnect and to just go into default mode as though life is happening to you. But when we choose the road of life, when we turn on the lights, we live in the light instead of the darkness, and we repent of the ways that we have wronged others. And so in the example I gave in with the client, Margaret, she was able to use the self-coaching model and look at ways that she was showing up where she was sinning against her husband. She was sinning against God, and the way that she was protecting herself, the way she was hiding behind the fear and the defensiveness. And so this is part of exposing. We turn on the light and take ownership of our actions and behavior rather than just blaming others and feeling like a victim of our circumstance. We then open our mind to renew our mind, to take on new truths. So the exposure does not leave us in a state of shame. Rather, we experience God's kindness. His kindness leads us to repentance and leads us to a renewed mind. He gives us a new way to think about things, and he renews the spirit within us, which leads to new actions. We can then engage. We can engage starting with our deepest fears, our deepest pains, our sorrow, our grief, our sadness, our disappointments. Those become an invitation to engage with God. We pause and we invite the Lord into that space, and we experience his presence, knowing that in this fallen world, our circumstances aren't always going to be what we think they should be, because this isn't our home, but his presence is always enough, and his spirit can fill us and it can quicken the spirit within us. It can renew our joy and give us hope and give us peace and life and energy despite our situation. And we press on despite our unwanted feelings, not in a way that's robotic and disconnected, but in a way that is passionate. We strenuously contend with the spirit that Christ has placed within us. And this is so different than going into default mode as though life is just happening to you. So this concludes our lesson for today on two paths. I encourage you to think about what your takeaway is from today. What will you take away? How will you apply this to your life? What path are you on? What path are you choosing day by day? And how do you stay on the path that leads to aliveness despite the pains, the weeds, and thorns of life? Next week, our topic is change begins with dot, dot, dot. So you'll have to show up to hear what change begins with. And I look forward to talking to you then. If you want to go in depth and do more of this work, if you want feedback from me, if you want ways to apply this knowledge, worksheets, scripture studies, all the things, you can find that inside Clarity and Courage, my cost-effective coaching group for Christian women. I hope to see you there, and I will talk to you guys again next week on the podcast.
If you enjoyed this podcast, I would love to help you take this concept and apply it. Join me in Clarity and Courage, my cost-effective coaching program for Christian women. Each month, receive the tools you need to apply the concepts and grow. We will meet on a live coaching call where you can ask me anything. Plus, you get access to the worksheet workshop where you can have conversations with other women just like you. Learn more and sign up at myhappyvault.com/clarityandcourage. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would love to help you take this concept and apply it. Join me in Clarity and Courage, my cost-effective coaching program for Christian women. Each month, receive the tools you need to apply the concepts and grow. We will meet on a live coaching call where you can ask me anything. Plus, you get access to the worksheet workshop where you can have conversations with other women just like you. Learn more and sign up at myhappyvault.com/clarityandcourage.